Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to Polygamy, What Love Is This? I'm your host, Doris Hansen, and I was born and raised in a polygamy group, the Kingston Polygamy Group. I was brainwashed from the cradle to believe that practicing polygamy and being in that particular group was God's method of salvation. But from my studies, as I grew up and I started studying the Bible as an adult, I discovered from those studies that there's only one Savior. And I discovered that that Savior is Jesus Christ. And it isn't polygamy. And I discovered that there's nothing that you can do to add to what Jesus already did. He did it all on the cross. He alone is the Savior. And there's nothing that any of us can do, or there's nothing no one can do to add to that, not even yourself. And when I found that out, I found it was such a delight and such freedom to know that truth and to embrace it. Welcome to our program tonight. We are broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah, and we are a telephone call-in program. We will be opening up the telephone lines a little bit later for you to call in and talk to us about polygamy, ask your questions, or make your comments. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20. That's 801-973-8820. For those of you who would like to go on the webpage to find out what we do in the ministry with the polygamists, you can go to shieldandrefuge.org. And on that webpage, you'll find information about polygamy, information about what we do. We help people in polygamy groups. We answer questions. We help you if you want to leave. If you have if you or anyone that you know are being abused, whether it's sexually or physically, if you're being coerced into a marriage you don't want, or into incest or anything like that, it's illegal. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl or a child or an adult, it's illegal, and you can get help and contact someone off that webpage for the help that you need. Also, for anyone that wants to be involved in our program, and yet you're afraid to call in because your name or your voice might be recognized, remember, all you need to do is call in and tell the operator that you want to remain anonymous, and they will take it from there, and no one will know that you were involved with the program. Our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we invite you to email us about your concerns, private information you might have. I'd also encourage those of you who have called and wanted to contact me privately about private matters, and you haven't been able to get a hold of me because you have been afraid that you're going to get caught. I know the fear of being in a polygamy group and getting caught trying to reach out to someone out on the outside. And we don't want to compromise you or get you in any trouble or any danger. So if you can email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com, perhaps we can set up a time that would be convenient for you and a safe time for us to talk. Also, you can go on our webpage, aboutpolygamy.com, and you can see previous shows that we've done. If you know anyone outside of the viewing area, you can tell them to go there, and they can watch the program in the streaming video. Also, future programming is listed on that webpage. I'd like to remind anyone interested in our support discussion group. We are having one every third Monday of the month. It will be from 6:30 till 8 p.m. If you're interested in coming, email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, for the details. And this group is for people who are in polygamy group and you have questions or doubts, or if you've left a polygamy group and you have issues and questions that you want to deal with. We've been there. The people who come to this discussion group have been there, or we're already there, and we can help you. We can reach out and help each other through our discussions. So we do invite you to come to the discussion groups and email us for information. I'd also like to mention tonight that on December 5th, from 7 until 9 p.m., TV20 is having a Christmas open house, and all of the hosts that do shows here at the TV20 studios will be here on our sets, And we're inviting our viewers to come and meet with us and talk and have some refreshments. And we'd love to have you come. We're inviting you to come. So please put that on your calendar, December 5th, Christmas Open House at the TV20 Studios from 7 until 9 p.m. Last week, as we were discussing the Trinity, and we were giving some examples of how three can be one, I had mentioned that God had created, in His creation, He had the Trinity is in much of His creation. And one lady was listening to that, and she called in and gave us another example, and I just love it, so I thought I'd bring it up. Christine called, and she said that the primary colors, yellow, red, and blue, we have three colors there, and they make together in different combinations every color in the universe. And if you take one color away, then how many colors of the color spectrum have been removed? And again, we see that the Trinity is represented in the primary colors of God's universe. And thank you, Christine. I really appreciate your calling and saying that. And we also had a call last week when we were talking about why polygamists are not arrested, and we were going through some of the issues with that. Someone called in and said that one reason they're not arrested is because the man has one legal wife and all of his other wives are not legal, and that's true. I didn't mention that last week. I have mentioned it on previous shows, but not last week. And that's a good point. So they can call their other wives mistresses. And of course, he can have two or three or a dozen or 25 or 30 mistresses. And they can't arrest him for polygamy. And these mistresses can have 10, 15, 18 children, and some of them do. So that's a nice place to be if you're a mistress, isn't it? Then you have to go out and you have to support your own children. And you have to support yourself because your husband cannot support you and all your children. Or they go on welfare and then we have to support you and your lifestyle, even though it's not something that God requires. So thank you also for that input. Okay, on October 16th, someone by the name of Rock called. And so Rock, I'm going to answer to what you remark you had made that day. You said that you were a product of a loving family. You're a product of polygamy from a loving family, and you had good memories. And I do appreciate your call. There are polygamists I know who have come from very loving and nurturing families. There's no doubt about that, and I won't deny that. However, most of the people that I've met, and of course my own personal experience, is not from a loving family or a nurturing family at all. And some of them have been very abusive and mind-controlling. And, you know, Rock, just because you came from a loving family does not make polygamy the right thing to do. The problem with the polygamy, Mormon polygamy, fundamentalist polygamy, is that they say that God requires it for salvation. And they use the Bible to try and prove their point. And our point here is, it is not God's will to live polygamy. It is not God's plan for salvation. And if you would get the Bible, and anyone who wants to get into a good Bible study for polygamy, just open it up and start reading. But take off the polygamy filters from your mind and your eyes and ask the Lord to open up your eyes to see the truths of His Word. And you will find that polygamy is not condoned. It is not part of God's salvation plan. And the problem is, people say that that's exactly the way it is, that you cannot get to heaven without it. And that's why the polygamy groups can hold their people, one of the reasons. And so that is the problem. Our purpose here is to provoke our viewers to get into the Bible and to study it and to find out the truth for themselves. And if you think that you have found the truth in polygamy and you still hang on to it, then you have not done an honest study in the Bible. And we had a call a couple of weeks ago from a man by the name of Jay, and he's from Orem. And he said that he was raised in the LDS church and that he has left the church. He said that whenever polygamy was brought up, they would put it down in his Mormon church. And I find that very interesting that the Mormons put down polygamy because they're the ones who started it. They lived it. They practiced it. They commanded it. And so now they put it down. Jay also said that they were told that when the prophet speaks, all listen, and they didn't have to think for themselves. Now, isn't that interesting also? Jay, I find that to be so true. You know, it's like someone said, they teach you what to think. They don't teach you how to think. And, you know, if you want to know about an issue, if you have a problem, if you have something that you really want to find the truth out about, you need to honestly do a study to test it and to prove whether it's true or not. And that's what you would need to do with polygamy, with Mormonism, with any religious group or any issue. You need to do an all-consuming test every side of the issue. If you read material that is only faith-promoting, or if you see movies or anything else that's only faith-promoting, you will never find the truth. You might think you have the truth, but you will never know it if you don't do an all-around study on it to prove it. You know, Jesus told us that we are to love God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. And if we're to love God with all of our mind, we need to use our mind to find out everything we can to know about God. The Bible is where God has revealed Himself in words. Creation is where God has revealed Himself in power and glory. And the cross of Jesus Christ is where God has revealed Himself in redemption and power and glory and love and in His hatred for sin. Last week, we had Enoch Dutson on the show, and we were doing the priesthood comparison of the FLDS priesthood compared with the biblical priesthood activity. And we only got about halfway through. We are going to pick up at a later date and finish that because I think it's a very important thing to continue on with. However, Enoch Dutson probably won't be able to join us at the future show, but we will do it. So you might just want to tune in because we're going to finish that one. Next week, I'm going to take some time to discuss how Jesus dealt with the religious leaders of His day that preached against or repressed the truth. And next week, I'm also going to pick up where we left off last time on why the early Mormons, the myths of why the early Mormons practiced polygamy. We've got quite a long list of that. And I'd invite anyone out there who has a story of what they've been told of why the early Mormons practiced polygamy, would you email it to us? And if it's not one that we already have, we will incorporate it into our list and talk about it on the air. So email your story to us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And then the week after that, we're going to start a Bible study on what the Bible really has to say about polygamy. We're going to go through the characters that live polygamy, and we're going to look at the passages and see what's in there. Maybe there's something you've missed in your own study or something that you haven't seen before, and we'll pick out those things. We're not going to tell you what to believe, but we're going to get you in there so that you can really take a look and make up your own mind afterwards. And so stay tuned because we're going to have a very interesting time with the Bible study. We're going to start with the first marriage because that's where God has made His will known. A few months ago, we had a guest on our program, Paul Owen. And in fact, it was July 10th that he was first on here. And we were having a discussion of the mind control techniques that polygamy groups use to keep their members in the groups. We only got about halfway through the program. However, Paul offered to come back so that we could finish doing the list, and so he's here tonight. He's graciously prepared to continue on with the study we first started. And if you want to see the first segment, it is on July 10th, and you can catch that on streaming video on the internet. Both Paul and I are from the Kingston Polygamy Group. I ran when I was 18 years old, but Paul spent a good deal of his life there, and he was a faithful, loyal member of that group. He served them well. He served them loyally. If anybody in this world would not have left, I thought it would be Paul. He never would have left, but God got a hold of his heart and God got a hold of his mind and he got a hold of Paul and he showed him the truths of the Bible And Paul did leave the polygamy group, and he did turn to Christ alone for salvation. And so he is now a Christian, and I am very grateful for that. And I'm sure Paul is as well.
Yes, I am.
Welcome again to the show tonight, Paul.
Glad to be here.
I'm glad you could come and finish the list that we have. Before we get started on the list, I have a question that I'd like to ask you that doesn't have anything to do really with the mind control techniques. But we had a caller a couple of weeks ago. He called in and he said that my guests, or the guests that's on this show, don't show a lot of joy. And he said that he knows people, women in polygamy groups who show more joy than the guests have been showing on my show. And of course, I know all my guests, and I know that they're full of happiness and joy. So I thought I would do a happiness level test.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about your joy level. I'm going to ask you to compare your life that you had while you were in the polygamy group, and on a scale of 1 to 10, and your happiness, your joy, your peace, and your contentment that you had while you were in the group on a scale of 1 to 10 compared to your happiness and joy and contentment level from that same scale now that you are out of the group and a Christian.
Well, you could compare it to night and day. You could compare it to being in prison and being free. You could compare it to doing all you could to try to please some person and couldn't. And it was just a feeling of never enough. And when I found Jesus Christ and asked Him to come into my life changed so much. It's been so good since then. It's just amazing. I'm in awe every day because of what He's done for me.
Yes. There was a time in my, as a new Christian, where I came to the conclusion that people outside of Christ really don't know what true joy is. I just wonder if they really do.
Not real joy. And they don't, unless they know Jesus, they can't know that kind of, that level mm-hmm. of joy and happiness that comes
level.
With knowing Him.
Yeah. And Jesus said in this life we would have tribulation and trials, but to take heart because He's overcome the world.
Yes, He has.
And we're in Him, and so therefore we're overcomers too. One more question. Tell me what regrets you have of leaving the polygamy group.
None. Not one. I'm just set me free. Just freedom.
Absolutely. There's no regrets. I have none either. We had really a very long list of the mind control techniques, and we went through, probably 8 or 10 of them when you were here last time. And we don't have time to really go through those first 10 even as a review, but again, you can go July 10th and watch it on streaming video. So what we're going to do is we're going to dig right into the next list, the next half okay. of the list, and we'll just talk about these issues that the, and most polygamy groups use these. In fact, a lot of cults use these. But some of them are unique to the Kingston group, and some of them may be unique to other groups.
Okay.
The first one, and I'm not sure how far we got on this as in the last show, was that the group is a financial empire.
Yes.
And they have their members brainwashed, if you can say that, or at least conditioned that finances belong to the group, and they actually take your finances, don't they?
Well, they do, and just before I left, the leader had a piece of paper that he wanted everybody to sign. That piece of paper said that you would, that everything that you had belonged to the group, and if you left, if you ever left, you would take nothing with you. You'd leave it all there. So there was nothing that you could call your own, not even your house or anything else.
Did you sign that paper?
No, I did not.
So when you left, you were able to take everything with you.
Yeah, I was. In fact, I just bought a house, and the first thing they wanted me to do was to sign the title of the house over to them. And if I had done that, I'd have had an awfully hard time getting it back.
Yeah, I know.
I know that because other people have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know some of those instances, too. I call it grand theft, but evidently they can get around that somehow. When I was in the group, I don't know how they were doing it with you, but from my understanding, they were doing the same way. Their businesses were constantly in need of finances, and they told you had to hold every nickel back, that every nickel you get to turn it in, and don't spend anything unless you absolutely, totally have to, so that they can build up their businesses or they're going to go broke, and then the kingdom of God will fall apart, and all of these threats. And after all those years, don't you think they would have enough business savvy to kind of start getting some profit in these businesses? Do they always have to be going broke?
No, in fact, I remember all the time, we're in debt, we've got to save your money. And if you can imagine, people working for minimum wage or lower and giving everything back, how they could not be a real rich financial empire, which they are. Mm-hmm. You get out of there and you can see it. Mm-hmm. They're in the hundreds of millions of dollars that they own. Mm-hmm. And they're still telling their people to save their money and give it to them. Turn it in. So it never ends.
I think one of the things that really amazed me, looking back at it, was, do they really think that money is going to buy your ticket to heaven? Does God really need a financial empire on this planet?
Apparently he does. Because there was one woman, and this was something I was told by a family member of the family that this lady had to do it. Her son had died. And she was told that he was in debt $5,000, that he had to come up with $5,000 in order for him to get salvation. And she had to get that money, earn it, and turn it into the group to pay for his salvation. Now, to me, that's pretty far-fetched, and I hope it isn't true, but it come from a pretty good source.
Yeah, I've heard of some of those as well, and if someone dies, whether the salvation issue is put in it or not, they will say, well, your mother died and she had a debt, you've got to pay it. And yeah, the children or whomever that would be. So it shows that it is a financially focused,
yes,
enterprise.
Is.
What's interesting is in the Bible, it says in James that this is true religion, and that is to look out for the widows and the orphans.
Yes.
And if they want to live their religion, if they want to live the true religion that the Bible talks about, it's helping others with what you've got so that you can go help mm-hmm. them rather than bringing in all the money and then hoarding it. Okay, the next part of this list is the disfellowshipping, the shunning. If someone leaves the group, they are discouraged from the people inside the group dealing with the apostate, having anything to do with them, talk with them, associate with them, having them in their home, socializing.
Well, they, when you meet them, happen to meet them, they treat you nice, but you can tell it's very shallow, and they're not really open like it used to be. The friendship isn't there. You can't feel anything there. It's real cold.
It's just the far away, distancing.
In fact, my oldest brother made the statement that his brothers and sisters were in the group, so when I left the group, I was no longer his brother. And that's the way he feels about it.
And he's that way now?
Yeah.
Still that way? That's conditional love. Is that not conditional love?
Yes, it is.
If you do it the way I like it, then it's love, and if you don't, then I don't love you anymore.
Yeah.
And again, if you compare that to a Bible, what did Jesus do? Didn't he go out with the crowds and the nitty-gritty and
yes, he did.
And talk with them and deal with them? And it really, it kind of makes it look like God's love is conditional too, because they claim this is God's group. And if their love is that conditional, then it makes it sound like that God's love is conditional. If you obey me, I love you. If you don't obey me, then I can't love you anymore.
Sad, but it's true.
Yeah, it is. And you know, in a sense, that's emotional blackmail.
Yes.
Because we all need love. We all need to know that
we
are accepted. And of course, we all know that God accepts us no matter what. I'd like to remind our viewers that this is a telephone call-in. We will be opening up the phones in just a couple of minutes. The number is 801-973-8820. If you have some comments you'd like to make, or a question perhaps you'd like to ask either Paul or myself. Okay, the next one we can take quite a bit of time on because there's a lot to say about this. And that is, they promote the goals of the group over the individuality and individual needs. And in doing that, they will often approve of unethical behavior while they're claiming to be the kingdom of God.
Yes. Well, the group is the all-important thing and what you can do for the group. And it's more important than your family or anything else. And I was taught that from early on. And I just remember one very good friend of mine that he had done things that proved that he was that way. But he said that's the way you have to be. You have to sacrifice your family for the work. And if you got a choice of to take care of your family or go take care of your job, you got to go take care of your job. And there's no question about that, and that's just the way they believe. And families suffer for it. My family suffered for it when I was in there. At one point in time, they sent me down to the coal mine for a year, and I had 8 kids at home, kids that needed their father. And I was gone for a year, home on weekends.
Wow.
And that was wrong. That was wrong. I look back at
it
now and wonder why I would do that.
Did you realize it was wrong at the
time? No, I figured he told me, called me and told me to go down. The leader did. And I didn't, you do what you're told.
Yeah.
Don't have any choice. I had no choice but to go down. And my family suffered for it.
How many families suffer that way?
Oh, too
especially,
many.
Especially the large polygamists where the man has so many wives and kids, he can't see his kids anyway and be the father to them. What about the unethical behavior that these kingdoms of God will partake in? We can name several things they do that is totally immoral, like lying for the Lord.
Yes, they don't think anything about that. In fact, there was a time not too long ago when I was subpoenaed to go to a court trial where this one member, former member, was trying to get the title to her house. She was trying to get her house back from the group. And while I was there, some people that I knew got up, and I certainly won't mention any names, but I've never heard so much lying in my life because I knew the facts. I knew the circumstances surrounding that thing, and I knew exactly what they were talking about, and they just lied and lied, and I couldn't believe it.
And
it just so
to try and
so
chip
bold.
Some woman out of her home.
Yes.
A woman with she had 9 kids, didn't she?
Yeah, she had 9 kids, and she needed her home. Her husband had been killed in the coal mine, and she was trying to support those kids and that family, and they wouldn't give her a house. She won the court case, though.
Good.
But they said they was going to appeal it. So I don't know what
happened.
I don't know
how that happened.
But it's sad.
It is. It is so sad, lying for the Lord. Well, you know, we're taught to lie. We talk about this a lot on the show, how we're taught to lie as a child. Yeah. I was taught how to lie, what to say my father was, what to say he did, who he was and wasn't, actually. Never to ever divulge what's going on in the group, or hell and damnation followed you, that kind of thing. I remember one time, I don't remember how old I was, but I was old enough to know that when deer hunting was, and when it wasn't, and somebody brought home a deer, and it wasn't deer season. And I asked my mother, why was it okay, if it wasn't deer hunting season, why was it okay for them to go out and shoot a deer? And she said, well, we're God's children, and if God's children needs food, then the government has no right to inhibit the time that we can go out and get it. And so it's okay if we go out and shoot deer outside of deer season. And you know, it didn't, no matter how young I was, it still didn't sit right. Again, that's that deceitfulness that they instill in the children as they grow up, that it's okay.
Loyalty is more important than telling the truth.
Yes.
Loyalty to the group.
Don't lie to anybody inside the group, but lie like crazy to someone on the outside.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Okay. We'll be taking phone calls now. If you want to call us at 801-973-8820, that's 973-TV20. If you have your phone calls, you can start calling, and we'll be happy to start talking with our viewers. Also, some of the unethical behavior is the child and spouse abuse. I don't know if you're familiar with much of that.
I am with a little bit in things that I've heard, not firsthand, I haven't. But I've heard things from people that it happened to that just blew my mind away. I had no idea. And that's when I was in the, right after I had left, and was really learning the truth about a lot of stuff that was going on. And this one girl said that she was just a little girl at the time. She was I think about 18 then, but she says she just dreaded her father coming because he was sexually molesting her.
Mm.
And he was high up in the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wouldn't have believed it, but she said it happened to her.
Too many stories like that. Too many stories.
Seems like that sexual abuse goes along with polygamy. Seen it in a lot of groups, a lot of polygamous groups.
It does. More than we have
any idea that goes on.
Right. And we hear about it later. And of course, that's the incest, which is on my list here. What about spouse abuse? I don't know that. I know there is some physical abuse with certain circumstances, but wouldn't you think that the emotional abuse, the emptiness, the unloved, seeing your husband once a month?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would be spousal abuse.
It would be spousal abuse.
Yeah. And welfare fraud, bleeding the beast?
Yes.
Now, all of these are illegal behaviors,
but
it's condoned.
It is, and they do it. Those women, they get a lot of little kids, and they can't support those kids on minimum wage.
Mm-mm.
And they have to work and hire somebody else, one of the other wives, to come in and tend their kids.
And that
while they
wife
work.
May be tending 15 or 20 children.
Yeah. So they go on welfare.
You know, I would like to kind of put out a gauntlet right now based on what we're talking about with the illegal behavior in some of the polygamist homes. And again, we're not painting this with one big broad brush. We realize that this doesn't happen in every polygamist home, but it does happen too frequently. And so what I'd like to do is ask a polygamist who's watching the show tonight to call in and tell us why is it okay in your book to participate in these illegal behaviors when the Bible is very clear, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not bear false witness, and the other commandments that prohibit this kind of behavior. So please call in and tell us why it's okay. It looks like we have a call coming in from Mary on line one, so we'll take her call. Mary?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Mary.
I would like to listen to the answers just on the TV, so I'll ask my questions and then I'll hang up, okay?
Okay.
I would like it if you would comment on what goes on up at Washakie. That's near the Utah-Idaho border. And also if you would comment on the Kingstons, how involved they are, like in the legislature, other political avenues, the judicial system, and also like the real estate that they own in downtown Salt Lake.
Now, you mentioned, did you say how active they are in the legislature? Is that what you said?
How involved they are.
Involved they are in the legislature.
In that, in the judicial system, you know, they have a lot of lawyers, and there's some judges, and to my understanding.
Okay.
So anyway, if you'd comment on that, and I'll listen to it on the air.
Okay, Mary.
Okay, thank you for your program.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Do you know anything about that?
I really don't. I know they have a lot of lawyers, and so I can't honestly say that I know that much about that.
First of all, Mary, we would have to be very careful of what we say on the air because they do have a lot of lawyers. I would have to say that they keep their business dealing so secretive. It's very difficult to know of everything they're doing. You're talking about the Washakie Ranch, I believe, that they have up in northern Utah. I understand that that ranch is sometimes used to send people for probation, or wives who have broken some kind of a guideline, or teenagers who are out of line. I don't know for a fact that that's what they do, but I have heard that. Also, I do know that many polygamy groups are getting involved in politics. I know that that's their agenda. I do not know how high on the list of the agenda that is for this particular group, but I do know some of the other groups, and I do know the Kingston group, all are interested in politics. I know that as a citizen outside of polygamy, that we need to watch out for this, because if they multiply as fast as they are now, those polygamy groups are going to be in control of this state before very long, because they will have so many thousands of people, they can outvote or put in any candidate they want, including themselves. So I think this is something we really need to look at, and I do know that, as I said, politics are high on the agenda for several different polygamy groups. The rest of the questions, Mary, I don't know that I can particularly answer. I don't know that if I knew the answers, I would even dare answer them on the air. So I hope that is good enough for you. Okay, line two, Douglas in Murray. Hello, Douglas.
Hello, and good evening.
Hello, you're on the air.
I wanted to kind of take a look at the Mormon Church, the basic leadership here in Salt Lake City, and when the Texas polygamist thing took place last year and over 400 children were taken, the Mormon Church decided in its own inimitable style to almost turn a deaf ear toward the fundamentalists and the ensuing effects of the court hearings and everything. And yet, when they had Proposition 8 in California, and we just completed this presidential election, the Mormon Church took a very wide-open stance in favor of Proposition 8 to stop to stop homosexual marriages in California. So it looks like that the headquarters of the Mormon Church here in Salt Lake has decided to individually kind of pick and choose the battlegrounds that they would like to be involved in. And if someone like Mitt Romney was ever elected to the President of the United States, to what extent could the President of the States invoke some of the very strong views of his own religion, like the Mormon Church? I think the Mormons have always maintained that someday, at some time in the future, that the Mormon Church would control the United States and the agenda of its politics.
Well, this is true, Douglas. They do believe that. However, being a ministry, we can't really make our views known on politics. It isn't really the right thing that we can do. The IRS frowns on it. But I do find it interesting that the Mormon Church turns their back on polygamy when they're the ones that started it. And that's what I'll say about your comment.
Yeah, and then they open up and take a look at Proposition 8 and become as pronounced and as involved in this last election as they were. So
well,
they kind of pick and choose.
It's
their
a pick and choose morality.
Battleground.
Yeah.
They really do.
Uh-huh. That's a pick and choose morality.
Yeah. You know, I'm a born-again evangelical Christian for 7 years.
Good for you.
I was a Mormon, had four brothers and 10 or 12 nieces and nephews. Three of my own four sons have served missions for the Mormon Church, and yet two of my sons and I have left the Mormon Church, and so we take a very strong world biblical view of not just history and the Bible, and we question a lot of what the Mormon Church is doing, and
well,
and that's a big part of what's been significant in my life in just the last 7 years. And so, yeah, it's yours is a wonderful program.
Thank you.
Gives people an opportunity to look at polygamy and other issues relating to that, how it affects
yes.
people's lives, like you're talking about.
Okay, thank
Who's,
you. Thank you, Douglas. We really need to go on to the next caller. So
that's
we have
wonderful.
People
I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Guys, have a wonderful week.
And you too. Thanks you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, line three, we have Jim. Hello, Jim.
Yeah.
You're on the air.
I'm on the air?
You're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Doris.
Uh-huh.
I had a couple of quick questions. First of all, I wanted to say you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I'm not an LDS, but I studied it, and I've had a lot of friends that are or were, and you do a fantastic job of pointing out biblically why it's not a good religion.
What's your question, Jim? Thank you.
You just mentioned that something I would never think of, that it's conditional love versus unconditional. I mean, that right there is powerful, but I'm just wondering, you know, I watch this show and I'm wondering, are there, behind the scenes, do you hear from a lot of people that are Mormons or polygamists that call in and say, you know, I want to talk to you and what have you? I mean, it seems like they're not watching except for a few that call. Do you get a lot of emails and a lot of feedback from people that secretly want to talk to you and convert, or how does that go?
Jim, there are a lot of polygamists watching the program, but they won't admit it. They can't admit it. There's a lot of fear in watching something that is not faith-promoting, especially from apostates like Paul and myself. And so it would not be appropriate for them to be watching it. I do get some feedback from people who are asking questions. But the way I'm finding from different areas, I'm finding that polygamists all over are watching this program. I do get emails from Mormons and from some polygamists, and I do get emails from Christians as well.
Yeah, because when you watch the show, we're going, you know, we're cheering. You're going, yeah, yeah, this lady's good. And then we wonder, you know, well, it'd be nice if we knew that a lot of LDS people were watching it, because I think it would really free them up. And then the another thing I want to ask you real quick is that when I talk to Mormons, you know, and I think of the Bible, and we're in Genesis 3:5, I believe it is, it says that the, you know, the first sin that brought the fall of man was, you know, if you eat this fruit, you can be like God, which was the big sin that everybody knows about, eating the apple. Isn't that kind of like what the LDS people are saying, that, you know, if you join our church, that you can be like God and have all the wisdom and what have you? Is that not just like right in your face?
It's interesting, Jim, you mentioned that scripture. I've been working on a future program, and that's that scripture is exactly right in the middle of what we're going to be talking about. Yes, the serpent does get us to turn away from the truth and turn to something that we shouldn't have and something that's not right for us. And the sad part about that particular scripture is the Mormon church teaches that it's a good thing that Adam and Eve fell, that they sinned and fell and disobeyed God. And that is so awful that they would teach that. But that's part of their doctrine. But we'll deal with that in another show. So.
Okay, great. I look forward to it. Thanks a lot.
All
You're
right.
wonderful.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Good night. We have Christy in Magna. Hello, Christy.
Yes.
You're on the air.
Hi, Doris. I have a question for your guest, Paul.
Uh-huh.
It's a three-part question, so I'm going to ask it, and then I'll get off the air.
Okay.
So my question is, I think the previous caller answered part of it. He said that the practice of polygamy was started with the Mormons. So first part of my question then would be, is how is it associated with salvation? And then my second part of my question would be, why did they stop it? The practice of polygamy, and if it really is associated with their salvation, then does that mean that the FLDS, be it the Kingston group or other fundamentalist LDS people, are they better doctrinal Mormons than the mainstream Mormons are? So I'll go ahead and get off the air then, and if you could answer my questions, that'd be great.
Yeah, they think they are. Let's see. Slipped my mind. I forgot the question. That's embarrassing.
Oops.
What was it?
She wanted to know if they're better Mormons.
Oh.
Than,
yeah. They started polygamy. The Mormon church did. And all these groups think that they are living a law that the Mormon Church failed in. And they figure that the Mormon Church gave up the truth, and so that's why they are the only true group. And each one individually, whether it's the group we came from or whether it's any other group, they think that they are the only group and that they are better than anybody else because they didn't give that up, and the Mormons did. And they figure that you have to live that in order to get the highest degree. They have 3 degrees of salvation according to the Mormon theology, and the highest being the celestial, and you cannot get there unless you live polygamy. And the Mormon Church's take on that right now, I'm not sure what it is as far as, I think that they figure that in after they leave this life and the next life, then they'll live polygamy. Mm-hmm. And so they work their way out of it that way. But yeah, each group thinks that they're the only group that really has the truth and really knows it.
And my question on that would be how all the polygamy groups know that that's what the other polygamy groups think.
Yes.
Yeah, and so how does each group know that the other group isn't the true group? How do they know that they are the true group?
They go back to the way that they originally started, and you just have to go by what Kingston, the original Kingston that started that group, he said certain things that God told him, and people believed him, and that proves that he's the one.
But there's really no proof.
No, there's no proof. You have to take it on faith.
Right, you have to take it on big faith. It takes more faith for that than... Okay, we won't go further on that. Let's go to Kathy in Brigham City. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
You're on the air. You're on the air, Kathy. Hello, you're on the air, Kathy.
Okay.
Is your TV turned down?
Yeah, I hear you. What I wanted to know was last night on TV5 there was the LeBarons. I don't know if you saw it, but the LeBarons' sons were on there, and they said that their father had been molesting their sister, and they had about 5 children. And there's a loophole in the system that the father said that it was through artificial insemination. And so the brothers are now out of the polygamy, but they're trying to get the loophole filled. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, Kathy, I have. I did not see the TV show you're talking about, but I have read articles on it, and I have seen other media on it. The father has evidently, and one of the brothers, has been having sex with the daughters and having children, and he claims that it's going to be through incest and a pure blood that they bring back the millennium and bring Jesus back to the earth, which is totally beyond words wrong. And that the reason, and I do understand the reason that Utah cannot or does not try to prosecute these incestuous unions is because they have to prove the sexual contact. And so the LeBaron father has said that he's been doing this through artificial insemination, therefore proving that they can't prove sexual contact because it's his word against whatever. And until the laws are changed, the incest laws are changed, they can't do anything about that.
Well, that's really sad. And have you ever considered getting hold of the LeBaron brothers who are out of polygamy and having them on your show?
Actually, it wasn't the same LeBaron. It was part of the LeBaron family. Susan Schmidt was on the show 2 weeks ago, and she was married to Verlin LeBaron, his 6th wife.
Okay.
I haven't tried contacting these LeBaron brothers. I haven't done that. I think one of them's, or two of them's in the service. But anyway, that's a thought.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Good night. Okay, we have an off-the-air question. It's really off. It's even off topic, isn't it?
Well, a little bit, but it's why does the LDS take a stand against, why doesn't the LDS Church take a stand against abortion like they did Proposition 8 in California? They did that because that's something that they could make themselves look good by standing up against that, but at the same time, this polygamy that we was in before is kind of close to home for them. But as far as abortion is concerned, I'm not sure what their stand is on abortion. I would think it would be against it.
The last I heard was that they will support abortion if it'll protect the life of the mother, or if it's rape. And other than that, they're not for abortion.
Hmm.
So, but I could be a little bit wrong on the rape part. I'm not sure, but they don't have a real hard stand on that. But then again, polygamy is totally in their backyard. They own it. Back to one of our questions here, Paul. The challenge, one of the mind control techniques that the polygamy groups use is they challenge the infallibility of the Bible. They claim that you can't trust it, and then they'll have their own books that you can trust.
Yeah, that's sad. A lot of people do that to excuse their beliefs, that you can't trust the Bible, and the Bible is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. It's the truth of God. It's His Word, and He said He would protect it even to the smallest marker, dot, or tittle,
mm-hmm.
that He would protect His Word. And you ask them which part of the Bible is not right, and they can't answer that.
And I've asked, and they can't.
They can't answer that.
Or each one will have a different opinion, and it's just a pity, and it's actually editing God's Word. A remarkable thing I think about that is that the Mormon scriptures, which the polygamy groups believe in, the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, mm-hmm. and Pearl of Great Price, there are places in those books where Joseph Smith lifted it from the Bible and said that the Word was real and would stand forever and was true, and basically the same disclaimers that the Bible has about the truth of God's Word. But if they claim that the Bible has been corrupted, and God promised He wouldn't allow that to happen, how do they think that God's going to keep their promise in the Book of Mormon not to corrupt,
well,
let it get corrupted?
What's curious about that is because Joseph Smith claimed that the words that he was reading to his scribe would stay there until he got them right, yet there's been over 2,000 changes in the Book of Mormon. And they can't answer that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why?
So I don't know how you could trust a book that had to be changed so much.
Right. And they, some of these changes were not just grammatical. Some
no.
of them were pretty heavy-duty changes. Okay, Ken from Salt Lake City. Hello, Ken.
Hello.
You're on the air.
All right, thank you. Hello, how are you guys tonight?
Well, we're pretty good.
All right, how you doing?
Pretty good. What's your question? We don't have a lot of time left, Ken, so ask your question quickly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I just had a couple of quick questions. I've got 3 degrees in the Book of Mormon Institute of Religion. And I've pinned every Mormon that comes against me because I like to wrestle for you guys. The way I pin them is I ask them, what spirit do they have in their church? Because I haven't seen them make to anybody to see or the lame to walk. And they haven't been able to answer me, whereas the Bible has numerous witnesses, up to like 500 witnesses, and 4 eyewitness accounts of the Lord performing miracles on people. And even the Roman, like, centurions and everybody, they've seen miracles performed, but the LDS church doesn't have one miracle performed. But even all that said, I'm wondering, how come they're so blessed with their marriages and their finances? It's just mind-boggling to me. With that, I'll close, and I'd like you to answer that.
Okay. Why are they blessed with their marriages and finances?
Yeah, they're so strong, their marriages and their finances.
Okay. Okay.
If Satan wanted to have you believe a lie, he wouldn't flat out tell you exactly opposite of what it was. He'd get so close to the truth that it would lead you away, which is what the Mormon faith does. They do have a good program for families and for raising their children and everything else. They are very high morals and everything, but they just don't have the truth like the Bible does. And if they didn't have those high morals, then they wouldn't have the success that they have. But it's just close to the truth.
And true religion doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a lot of money. There's a lot of Christians I know that are living in poverty, but they love the Lord. They're rich in Jesus. So that really isn't any bearing on whether they have the truth or not. Okay, we probably have time for this one last call. Josiah? Okay, you're on the air. We only have a minute, so make it quick.
Okay.
You're on the air.
I can't hear anything.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Josiah. You're on the air. We don't have much time.
Oh, beg pardon. I thought it was the other lady. I lived in Parowan, Utah for 15 years. I met a young lady there who was the third wife, had five kids. She ran away from polygamy. She reported to me that her children were treated as slaves. They were put into work at the age of five, and every cent was sent back into the family, and the children were treated as dirt and beaten regularly. Has this been inspected by the U.S. government, and has anything been done about it that you know of?
Well, Josiah, I know of situations like that in many, many different polygamy groups. I don't know which group you're talking about, but I think I have a good idea who it might be.
Colorado City?
Pardon me?
Colorado City.
Colorado City, okay. That does happen in a lot of the groups. And, you know, people run away and they're brought back by the authorities. So I don't have an answer to that. We are trying to get more help for these polygamous abused families, but it just takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, and we're just praying for them. So
I can understand that. Are you guys a Christian affiliation?
We are Christians, yes.
Okay. I've never heard of you guys before, so thanks for answering my question.
You're welcome. Thank you. Good night. Well, we're about out of time. I don't have time. There's a couple of calls here, Jason and Flo. Perhaps you can call back next week or email us what your question is, and we can answer it next week off the air. Thank you, Paul, for coming again.
Well, you're most welcome.
We appreciate we almost got through the list. There's been a couple of questions we didn't get. And I'd just like to remind you all that next week we're going to work again on the myths, and that our December 5th is the open house that we're going to have. And to please put that on your calendar. I would like to remind you that salvation is a gift of God. It's from Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, and you don't work for a gift. You receive it, and that's what you need to do with the gift of eternal life. Jesus died for your sins. He did not die so you could be resurrected. He did not bleed in the garden for your sins. He died on the cross for your sins. And it's a gift of God through Jesus Christ, who did this for you. So your faith and your request to receive the gift is what God will use to your benefit and credit to you as righteousness. If you could go to heaven any other way, Jesus Christ died in vain. He alone is the Savior. We want to thank you for inviting us into your evening and for inviting us here tonight. I'd like to thank all of the volunteers who come and help us every single Thursday night. May you claim all God's gifts and receive them. Good night. God bless.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.